Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And we have to say, first and foremost, congratulations, Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. The inevitable, for the last few weeks or so, I would say for most of the season, it hasn't been inevitable at all, been a very good race. But for the last couple of weeks, it's felt a little bit inevitable that City were going to win the title. And fair play to them, they have done it again, and in some style, right?
Yeah.
Probably not the way they would have liked to have done it. I guess Forest beating Arsenal. I get the whole kind of there was a video of them all together in the hotel and they all cheering. I liked it. Yeah, but I think as a player, I think I would have liked to have won it by winning today. And you win the game and then end of the game and then all the rest of it, right? I assume. I don't know. But either way,
yeah, I guess
they're going to take it. They're going to take it. And fair play to them. Good effort. They're the best team throughout the season. The run they've been on over the last few weeks has been incredible.
Yeah, they've been great. I'm just glad it weren't Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the way things are going in the other part of North London, I couldn't have bared it. It would have been... it's one thing what's going on in my half of North London, but if the other half was winning the league at the same time, I think it would be very hard for me to sit here. So thank you, Manchester City, for saving my blushes.
Yes, true enough. But the Pep rotation, the Pep roulette, hit us FPL
Does
managers.
Pep not understand that the title race might be over, but FPL is far from over.
Yeah, fair play though, because there was a few FPL managers I saw on Twitter and other areas going into like Mahrez and Alvarez was quite popular. And I think that was a ballsy move. If you did bring in Mahrez, Alvarez, anybody that played today, particularly Alvarez, I thought was pretty good. Get in the chat and let us know, because that was a ballsy move that paid off very, very nicely indeed. Even when I saw Haaland benched, and by the way, how good was that City bench today? Did you see it?
Honestly, do you think there's ever been a bench that in Premier League? Like, genuinely, so they panned the camera over there. We were at your mum and dad's, weren't we? And I was like, I went in to check what was going on, and I looked at it, and there was a shot of the bench, and it was like...
Superstar bench.
I was like, what is this?
It was unreal.
Yeah, great stuff from City today.
Yeah, and fair play. Even though Haaland was benched, I did think he'd come on at some stage, right? And I'm kind of hoping, given I captained him this week, spoiler alert, we'll talk about our teams a bit later on and how we're getting on so far in game week 37. But like many did, I captained Haaland this week. Still got the game to go, obviously, haven't they? The Chelsea game is now out of the way, but still got the game to go. It's Brighton, which is going to be an interesting game in midweek. I would like to think, if I was Pep Guardiola, obviously I can understand why you might rotate some of your big players today, but against Brighton, he will want the momentum, won't he? He won't want the players to kind of lose that good moment that they're in and the rhythm before the Champions League final and the FA Cup final, or... Am I clutching at straws as a Grealish and Haaland owner because both of them got benched today?
Yeah, I had Edison benched as well. So, yeah, all three of mine.
And another Ortega clean sheet today. That'll hurt the Edison owners, no doubt.
I don't know. I would think I tend to agree with you, but this is Pep. Pep doesn't do things in the way that you and I would do. So, I think he should play everybody because it's momentum, it's consistency, it's match fitness, it's all of that. But does Pep Guardiola think that? Who knows what goes on in that man's mind?
Yeah. Mienna Sidhorn is saying, do you think Pep even cares? He definitely doesn't
about
care.
About FPL? Absolutely
not. Care about FPL.
Does not care. I'll write him a letter this week and say, Pep, please could you care? Because we really could do with the points.
And Webby's in the chat. Well done, Webby. He bought Alvarez this week. Nice move, mate. Was gutted. Wasn't more. Yeah, to be fair, Webby.
Yeah,
you got a good shout there, mate, because you got the goal, obviously, but could have been more for Alvarez, could have been more. You've got to be happy with the points, but it could have had more. Not many FPL managers I would suggest bringing in Ortega, but actually, obviously, got the clean sheet, but also free bonus points, don't you, if you notice that. Mm. Actually, I think I looked in the, here we are, overall BPS for the game week. Fifth for, and I don't know if he didn't save any pens or anything, right? It was just a passes completed statistic, right?
Could have been Edison.
But there we go. Let's say hello to a few people. Brian Springer is in. Hey, Brian, how are we doing? Nice to see you. We've got Will 535. Good evening, mate. Heather is in. Hey, Heather, nice to see you. Joe Thurgood is here. Webby, who I mentioned before. Hey, Webby. Daniel Banks is here. Lukey Boy is here. PSB, John Tyner, Tarbo Gama is here. And FPL Bruno. Evening, Lee and Sam. Tony to Alvarez was one of my free transfers. Very nice, FPL Bruno. Very, very nice. Indeed. So listen, guys, welcome to FPL Family. We're going to do as much as we can in terms of chat for this game week. Obviously, we are mid-game week. We've got a whole bunch of games during the week. And then, of course, next Sunday is the finale. And one of the things I'd like to discuss with you tonight, Sam, is where should we be looking for our game week 38 transfers? If you've got one or two or whatever. Well, the reason I want to touch on it, and I've got a screenshot of the league later on, is because what is left to play for, right? You've got a lot of teams that are done and dusted now. The beach is the flip-flops are on their pack. They're well and truly ready to go. Still a little bit to do at the bottom. And I have to say, I called that West Ham game wrong today. I went for an away win there.
What? I didn't really understand why you thought that. I was thinking West Ham would want the consistency.
Yeah,
I just... Last home game, on the pitch.
I watched Leeds against Newcastle and I thought they were very, very aggressive. Very, very proactive in the way that they pressed. They went at them hell for leather and they got something out of that game. And I just wonder whether they might do the same against West Ham. And the Hammers might just be... I don't know.
To be fair, they did. Pulling the first out 25 of 25 minutes.
Yeah, and I wonder whether West Ham might pull out the odd 50-50 because they sort of don't want to. No one wants to get injured. It's the biggest game of their season, if not some of those careers, isn't it? The Europa Conference League final. And fair play to West Ham. Yeah. If you're a Hammers fan, I know you're going to be looking forward to that game. Fair play. To get to a major European final, I don't care if it's a conference or whatever.
What? Did you just call the conference a major European final?
For West Ham United,
Stop. Did you just say the conference was a major European final? Because you
it won't be when you're there next week, next year. It won't
you
be.
You've been calling I'll it the Jaffa. We're not going to be there. Have you seen us?
I have seen you.
We'll be lucky to finish 10th.
I have seen you, and I have to say I was not impressed at the weekend. I was with the goal, but I was not impressed with the overall performance. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Let's get into some of the games, Sam. We'll cover what's gone on so far in game week 37. We'll have a brief chat about, you know, what's left to go in 37, but we will have more of a look ahead to 38, to the finale next Sunday. Who's got something left to play for and which of the games we might want to look at and analyse from an FPL perspective for differentials, etc. So let's have a look at what's happened so far. Would you like to talk about Tottenham Hotspur or would you not?
What would you like to say about them? Is there a lot to say about them? From an FPL perspective, I'm not sure there's a lot to say about them, is there?
Well, it was the first game of the weekend. We watched it. I thought Harry Kane's goal was absolutely brilliant.
For a start, that is a... it's like a rarity, that. Because Kane on free kicks is normally... That is the worst part of his game. So it was an absolute worldie of a free kick.
It was an unbelievably
good
strike.
But then Spurs sort of did what Spurs do when they go 1-0 up. Frustrate the fans by going, oh, we're 1-0 up, let's sit back. And they tried to defend. And then Mbeumo was fantastic. Like, he was absolutely fantastic in the absence of Ivan Toney. Didn't even notice that Toney wasn't there, to be honest. Yeah. He was so good.
Top for shots in the game week, actually, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area. If you're not a member at Scout, then it's not too late. It's not too late in the season to go and give them a try. I'm ahead of the new season. And there'll be plenty going on over at Fantasy Football Scout over the summer as well. So get in to the Fantasy Football Scout members area. And for those of you that already are a member, just log in and the dashboard, as I always say, we use it a lot here at FPL Family. One of the great stats in there is overall shots throughout the game week. Mbeumo top with 6. Ferguson second with 5. And then there's a whole host of players on 4. But yeah, Mbeumo top for shots in the game week.
Yeah, he was brilliant. He was utterly brilliant. And Brentford deserved the win. Spurs were good in the first half. We played well. We defended well. We attacked well. And the free kick was absolutely worldy. And then the second half, it was like somebody just switched them off and Brentford had been switched on and they were fantastic. So we won the first half, they won the second half. But the difference was once they got one, they went for it again and again. Whereas once we got one, we kind of just sat back and allowed them to keep coming at us. And it was definitely a frustration for me as a Spurs fan and as a Kane owner in some other ways as well, because we weren't attacking. And if you're not attacking, you're not going to get FPL points. Now, all right, Harry Kane, shout out to him because this is his top scoring FPL season ever that he's had.
I feel sorry for the guy, right? Because he's like scored the most amount of goals for
a
38 game season, isn't he?
Across Europe, apart from Haaland.
Apart from Haaland. And like, he's had such a good goal scoring season. And in a way, I'm not just saying this because you're here. It's almost more impressive what he's done than Haaland, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not being funny.
We're rubbish,
Not that great. And the whole team at City is built around getting Haaland goals, right? He's a machine, right? But they mentioned it at Match of the Day. They said Harry Kane's achievement is even more unbelievable.
It is.
Because of the guff around him.
100%. We're terrible.
I agree.
He's been phenomenal. And it's his best ever FPL points season. of his life.
Is it his best FPL point season?
Ever, yeah. 245 points.
Wouldn't surprise
now.
Me, yeah. Wouldn't
yeah,
surprise
it's
me,
his best one
yeah.
ever. He's just been absolutely phenomenal for FPL this year. And I feel a little bit sad that a lot of people this season haven't really recognised that in FPL because Spurs are so awful.
Well, when I sold him a few weeks back, and many FPL managers will be thinking this, right? I'm looking at Spurs' performances and thinking, yeah, that ain't very good. They just sacked the manager.
I know, but
Stellini's rubbish, all the rest of it. I'm like, wow, he ain't going to... That's it. That's the end for Kane now. And he just gets goals. The amount of weeks where Kane has netted you a 7 or 8 pointer and Spurs have lost.
Oh, yeah.
Is incredible. And he was on for... Did he get a bonus point?
Yeah.
Bonus point in a 3-1 defeat. I mean, what is...
Yeah.
What is that about? I just don't understand it. But anyway.
Yeah. So he's been phenomenal. And I really wish that he got a little bit more credit in FPL this season.
Yeah.
Because in seasons gone by in FPL, we've waxed Liverpool. I mean, I know why I always wax Liverpool about Harry Kane. But in seasons gone by, a lot of FPL managers have. This season, I feel like he's massively gone under the radar because of Haaland and how great he's been. And don't get me wrong, we shouldn't take away from what Haaland's done. He's been phenomenal for his first season in the Premier League.
Mm.
But what Kane has quietly done in a team that has been quite
average,
frankly...
Average at best.
Well, that's polite. Yeah. I was going to say woeful. It is credit to how great a player he is and what a fantastic FPL asset he's been so far this season. And with one game to go, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him finish the season well too.
And what did you make of his emotional goodbye when he was waving goodbye to all the fans at the end of the game?
He always
what did you make
goodbye.
Of that?
They all wave goodbye. Do you think the whole squad's leaving? You're such an idiot.
What did you
make of Bobby Firmino crying on the pitch?
Oh, Bobby! Oh my God, Bobby. And that genuinely was a goodbye. I'm taking the mick with Kane, but he is going. And shout out to Milner as well. He's been brilliant. Even Naby's tried his hardest. I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Wait, hang on. Yeah, let's hear about your view on Oxlade-Chamberlain leaving. Please about that.
I'll open the door for him. Don't worry. He's king lead. But Keita, he's just been very unlucky with injuries. Millie's been absolutely brilliant. But Bobby... Oh, I don't like. I take the mick out of you when you get emotional about Spurs. But I'm telling you, when I watched that match today last night,
I cried about Lucas Moura.
I got a little bit of a lump in the old throat. I'll tell you about Bobby. What a legend!
On Thursday night, we were recording our Ohana for our patrons. These guys don't know. They're gonna be like, "What are they talking about?" And we're midway through the Ohana, and Lee said something about.
Don't start because
don't
you'll go. You'll
no,
start
I think
yourself
I'm,
off.
I think I'm all right now. Lee said something, and I said. Oh, I cried earlier, and Lee was like, "What about?" I think you're like quite. Think looked at me like as if to say like something seriously wrong, and I was like, "No, I am." I watched the Lucas Moura video where he did about leaving the club, and genuinely, I bawled. Like I was fully upset, as if someone had died. Like if someone had rung the doorbell, they'd have been like, "Oh my God, do you need a hug?" And then Lee asked me about this while we were recording Ohana, and I cried again.
Oh, Bobby Firmino, what a legend. We'll talk about him a bit later.
He was adorable, bless him, on the pitch, that was.
Yeah, that's...
And so fitting that it was him that scored the goal at Anfield in the last game, wasn't it?
So good. When it flashed up on my phone, I thought genuinely someone was taking the mick. Bobby Firmino, I mean, and even... We'll talk about my team later on, because the one all basically kills it, doesn't it? And fair play, Newcastle and Man U will get the third and fourth space. I'm absolutely convinced of it. But... For us to salvage something from that game through Bobby was just great, wasn't it? It was just great. So that's the end of the Spurs chat. Let's talk about...
Thank God for that.
Yeah, so let's just quickly touch on, Sam, the fixtures for game week 38. Because, and okay, we've got plenty of fixtures still to go in game week 37. I understand that. But for 38, I know we've spoken about Spurs a bit there. Are they a team that we even want to talk about? I guess we probably
do a little bit
because Leeds
we're going to have quite a big say in who goes up and down.
Yeah, I mean, Leeds are going to... That is a game where...
Leeds will have to beat us.
They got to win.
So and that might actually play into Spurs' hands.
That's what I mean.
Because
right?
They're going to have to come at us and we counter beautifully.
Well, let's just have a quick look at the Premier League table.
Even with our badness, we still counter well.
Let's have a look at the Premier League table. We'll talk about 1-9 in a minute, but at 17-20, there is still plenty to go. Leeds losing today at West Ham, which result I didn't think was going to happen. I thought they'd get something from that game. But they sit on 31 points, Everton on 33. So there's your point, right? Leeds host Spurs on the final day. A draw is not good enough. Obviously, a defeat sends them down. They have to win.
Mm-hmm.
And from an FPL perspective, I'm looking at that and going, well...
Captain Kane?
You can say what you like about Spurs and how crap they are, but counter-attack, you're good. Mm-hmm. You're good. You're not just a... You're a good counter-attack inside. So if you've got Harry Kane, absolutely hold. But if you're looking for a bit of last game week magic. I mean, Son in behind or like a Kulusevski in behind? I mean, am I clutching at straws a bit?
I don't think
or?
You can go Kulu because I think there's always the chance that he's rotated out of right. the starting 11. But you certainly could take a punt on Son. I mean, I think the thing
don't
is...
don't mind a punt on Son. Well, it's
the,
a bit...
The thing with
Son
is that
is
you do know Son's going to play in the final game of the season. Like,
yeah.
But the thing with game week 38 is that there is going to be a lot of teams that go on the beach because they've got nothing to play for. And we see some rotation across those teams because managers go, I'd quite like a view of you before this season, or you're a kid, let's give you a bit of a run out in this one.
Mm.
And we see some changes that happen. Whereas I think at Spurs, with the exception of maybe the Kulusevski, Richarlison sort of conundrum there, maybe Lucas Moura gets a start because it's his last potential one for the, well, is his last one mm. that he could get. I think there's enough rotation in that position that you would worry about having that. But with Son, you know that he's going to start, like with Kane. So I think if you do want to take a chance on that counter-attack football,
yeah.
then you go. You could go in with one of them.
Yeah, let's talk about, rather than from a Spurs perspective, let's just quickly jump to West Ham 3, Leeds 1 from today. The thing that stood out for me in this game, and I was a bit in and out, it's my dad's birthday today, so I was doing a lot of the family stuff and not really watching too much of the football, have to admit, but... the bits that I did catch of the game, and the guys are saying it in the chat, actually. Daniel Banks, thank you for the comment. Nice comment. Son against that high line that Leeds tried to play today. They did try that today, Leeds. They were very, as they were against Newcastle, I've said it a few times, they were aggressive in the press, pressed up really high. They want to win that ball back. And for the first, I don't know how long they were in this game, Leeds 1-0 up, but let's say for the first half hour, 40 minutes, whatever, that worked, right? The same as it did against Newcastle.
Yeah.
It caught the opposition off guard. But the challenge of playing like that, to play in that high line, is not only do you risk getting in behind, and the likes of Bowen and Son on the final game will exploit that, but it's really draining, right? You've got to be...
high tempo.
I mean, the old Bielsa murder ball, perhaps you could do it. But Leeds right now, as they have been this season, under sort of Jesse March and others, nah, they're not that fit. So if you're going to press high and aggressively for 90 minutes, that's really hard. Mm. And I can see the Spurs game being quite similar. I could see Spurs going one down and winning 2-1. I could see it.
That would involve us having a bit of fight back. But yeah.
Well, that's, yeah.
My
follow-on question is, Leeds players then, from that perspective, if you think Leeds are going to aggressively come out against Spurs final game week of the season at home and try to win as they have to, it's got to be goals in that game, isn't there? Would you go for a Rodrigo? Would you go for I don't know, any other Leeds assets that would sort of...
No.
A Nonto, maybe? I don't know.
Harrison?
I don't mind if he gets to start. I don't think he's much of a Sam Allardyce player, by the way. I don't think Allardyce likes him much.
The problem, isn't it, with Leeds, is that there isn't really a standout there.
Yeah.
It's not like in years gone by you'd have gone, right, I get Bamford.
Yeah.
For the final day. I don't feel like there is that player now at Leeds that you kind of go, that's the player I'll get.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to know where the goals would come from. I wouldn't advise the defence because I think Spurs can score.
No.
So you're looking for an attacking asset and then it kind of is a bit of a punt, I think.
Yeah.
I need
to watch the highlights of this game because even Rodrigo, right, I know he got the goal, but his XG for the game was 0.13, so he's fourth for XG overachievers. So his delta's like 0.87, right? I haven't seen the goal, right? Did he take it really well? Was it a worldie? You guys in the chat can tell me. But it's a low XG chance is my point, right? And that's 0.13, not just for that chance. Across the game was 0.13. So he's not really getting into those sorts of positions that you'd want him to if you were going to bring him in FPL. Both sides, that feels to me, that Leeds-Spurs game on the final game of the season where Leeds have got to win. If you go there in an FPL from an FPL perspective, whether you go to a Rodrigo or to Son or to a Kulu, anybody from anybody in that game, it feels punty.
Yeah.
But this is game week 38 and we don't mind a punt.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think they score. I think it's just knowing who will score for Leeds. Like, who's going to be the man on the final day of the season that goes, this is my club, I'm going to keep us up.
Yeah.
And man's up. And I don't know who that man is. That's the thing. If it was Spurs at the bottom end, you'd go, right, well, I'm going to punt on Son.
Yeah, thanks for the comments, Daniel Banks. So Daniel's saying he scored a volley from a throw-in. I've not seen the goal.
Oh, it was direct from a throw-in.
Apparently it was a worldy volley from a throw-in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Daniel also says, Bamford went off injured. Rodrigo looked like he picked up a knock too. So, yeah, everything that we're saying comes with a caveat of if these guys are
the
fit.
One thing, right? I would say is that Spurs historically have always done very well against the high press. That's why we always beat Southampton quite comfortably usually, because they play that kind of football against us. And then Son is the one that always manages to exploit it. So if you are behind in your mini league, then you do get security with Son. You know he's going to start. He hasn't been great this season. He has been really off it. But it is going to be a side that give him the opportunities to score goals. It's just whether he takes them.
Equally, and we've got to move on because we're only talking about one game, but Leeds go 1-0 up. They could just park it, couldn't they?
Can they?
They could just park it.
Defensively, can
they?
Yeah.
The reason they're losing games and conceding goals is because they're playing that high line, aggressive high line.
Will, though, Lee. I don't think you can park it. Kane is always likely to pop up with one.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you do park the bus, then Kane just comes deep and orchestrates, doesn't he? So, yeah, it'd be a nice pick for the final game of the season, Harry Kane. No doubt about it. Let's go back to some of these fixtures. In fact, let's go back to the games from... Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
I'm all over the place.
What's going on?
So, there's the West Ham game. Let's talk about Brighton 3, Southampton 1. So, an assist each for McAllister and Mitoma. But very much the striker on show was Evan Ferguson. I picked the wrong Brighton striker on my punt, didn't I? I went for Encisco a couple of weeks ago as my Brighton punt for the double game, the double game week. Turns out I should have gone for Evan Ferguson. Alexis McAllister owners, you can feel a little bit aggrieved because he was top for chances created across the game week with 7. The next best was Kulusevski with 5. So McAllister way out there for chances created, probably a bit unlucky to just get the assist. Obviously, they've got the City game coming up in
midweek.
But game week 38 for these guys, for Brighton, is a very intriguing game against Aston Villa. Now, I want to talk about, obviously, I want to talk about both these teams, really, because the Villa-Liverpool game and the Brighton game, I was impressed with both of those sides. And actually, when you look at the teams, again, if I bring up the league table, both of those teams are fighting for something, right? Particularly Aston Villa. I thought the post-match from some of their players and from Unai Emery after the Liverpool game was quite telling. And the Villa Twitter, there was a lot of... I saw a lot of videos, a lot of content being created by Villa fans that they want this, right? You know, they want to get into Europe. Unai Emery has got such a good track record in Europe as well. He's going to want to be in the European competition. I reckon that Brighton-Villa game is potentially going to be...
feisty?
I think it's got potential to be game of the week in game week 38. I'm just kind of not sure where and how I would approach it from an FPL perspective, because obviously I'm heavily invested in Brighton and I'm not at all in Villa. So if I'm going into game week 38, I'm hoping for a Brighton win, but I'm not convinced. I think Villa will give them a torrid time. And the way that Villa played against Liverpool, I was really impressed.
Villa have been great since Emery took over. Like, whenever I write about Villa, they are... The change in them since game week 15 when Emery took over to now has been phenomenal. And what he has done with the same group of players that Gerrard had, you know, we're not talking about a brand new squad where they've spent loads of money on it. We're talking about fundamentally the same players that Gerrard had.
Yeah.
They're beyond recognition from what they were early on in the season.
What are they getting so right then that they weren't under Gerrard? What's going on?
Well, I think for a while it was just the kind of Emery instilled some confidence in them. There was the whole kind of get the ball to Ollie. He really improved Watkins' confidence and form. And in doing that, improved the team around him as well. The defenders have been more solid. He's reinstated Mings. I think that's really important. The way that defence is working with Mings in the heart of it is so important. When Gerrard took that captaincy away, to me, it undermined everything that Villa were about. Because... it just disrupted it, and it was giving the captaincy to somebody else. Yet you're still expecting this player then to play in the team, even though he's been completely disrespected. And it just felt all kinds of wrong. Emery's come in. He's a proven manager with a great history and a great pedigree behind him. And he's built the confidence back up in these players. So now they're playing and they want to play for him. You can see that. They're listening to him and they want to play for him. So I think Villa will... I agree with you. I think they will put up a real big fight on that final day of the season. It'll be interesting to see what Brighton do, because Brighton have already secured their European football for next season. They did that today.
Yes.
So realistically now, they actually haven't got a lot to fight for anymore, because I don't think they're going to have enough to get into the top four. Unless, I think it's still mathematically possible.
They need something against
if
City.
If they
though,
beat
they?
City,
yeah, well.
Then on the final day of the season, they could still do it. But it's going to be tight. And it obviously depends what happens with Newcastle and Manchester United in their second games as well.
Yeah.
Or in Newcastle's first game and Manchester United second. So, yeah, I think it could be a great game, this one. I think...
that the Villa, though, and I hear you on the Watkins thing and I hear you on the Mings thing. I think their engine room, I think that midfield three of McGinn and who are the other guys in there? Douglas Luiz and Ramsey. Ramsey is a player, by the way.
Yeah, but my...
that midfield three, they were, run us ragged. I thought they were brilliant
they
in
were,
the middle of the park, Villa.
But my issue with Villa, from an FPL perspective, is who is it?
Yeah.
Because
yeah, it's hard to say, isn't it?
I don't think it's Watkins at the moment. People have kind of worked out that their strategy for a while was to get the ball to Watkins. And he stopped scoring goals. As a result, they've changed the way that they're playing. So at the weekend against you, it was Ramsey, who was the really impressive one. But in previous weeks, it's been Douglas Luiz that's been really impressive. And I sort of feel a bit like we were saying with Leeds, that it's a little bit punty. But game week 38 is all about the punts.
Do you think if Watkins scores the penalty, though, we all go there in 38?
Oh, good question. Maybe.
Because I just noticed he's second for XG, XG underachiever. I was like, why is that? And of course, Mr. Penn.
Yeah, maybe we do. I mean, it's tough though, isn't it? Because I look at Watkins and I'm not...
it's hard to know where to go in on
it's
Villa.
It's hard.
Because I'm all about their engine room. I thought they were fantastic. But you ain't buying... I don't... we're certainly not buying McGinn. Despite he got the assist, would have had... was it the assist? No, he played the ball over the top for the foul on whichever player it was that won the penalty. And it was a, it might have been a foul on Watkins by Konate, actually. So so he was sort of quarterbacking it. Thought Ramsey was brilliant. And all round the pitch, they were excellent. But yeah, where would you, outside of Watkins, you don't really know where to go. Whereas Brighton, completely opposite, isn't it? There's so many bloody options. Mm-hmm. And we're all there. I noticed even though Watkins was second for XG underachievers this week, Mitoma was top for XG underachievers.
That boy's got to start hitting things again.
He was unbelievably unlucky. I mean, we're sat here talking about how McAllister owners can consider themselves a little bit unlucky with the amount of chances he created. Mm. Ditto Mitoma owners. I remember a post being hit. I remember a couple of other chances
what
being created.
What if you got
created.
Them both? Have you just been really, really unlucky? Because I feel like that.
If you've got them both, like me, like you, you can feel a bit aggrieved, I suggest, by not getting any
points.
Got
to the end of that game and thought, why have you both only got one assist?
Yes.
Like, what's gone on there, boys? Come on.
Yes, yeah.
In a game week where my three Man City assets were benched, I really needed them for them two in particular to stand up. And then Blimina Stupinian loses his clean sheet. And it's like, oh, come on.
Tough take.
What else is going to go wrong?
It's a tough take of that. just a quick super chat from Cy Badette that I just noticed a minute ago. Hi, Nigel the Crab. Hey, Cy. Evening, Bonfields. Hello, mate. Crying over Brazilians aside. Yeah. Tear in the eye when it came to Bobby
Firmino. This
whole
house has been very sad. And Lucas Moura.
And Lucas, of course. Got an eye on Mbeumo for next season, especially with Tony out. Cy says he's done with this season. Mate, we haven't got long to go. Only 10 days to go, mate. And then we can have a nice, well-earned rest for a couple of weeks from FPL. With Tony out, yes, that is all eyes on Mbeumo, right? They're surely going to buy somebody in the summer.
If he stays, I think he could go somewhere, you know?
Possibly.
He's a big, he could have a big club in him, Mbeumo. He's real good.
Talk to me about that. Just finish up on that Brighton versus Villa game then. Call it. Who's going to win?
Brighton.
You think Brighton are going to win that game? Yeah. Is it at Villa Park, you know?
I just think that Brighton are... I think Brighton are on a... if they get something out of the City game in midweek, which now City have won the league, I think they will.
It's entirely possible, yeah. We see more Pep rotation like we did today.
I suspect we get some rotation in midweek. I suspect we get players drawn off early. Brighton want to go out on a high in their final home game of the season, knowing that they've secured European football. They will want to go out with a bang in front of their home fans in midweek. I think they get something out of that City game.
You reckon,
and then I think they go into the game at the weekend knowing that a win against Villa puts them in with a shout of the Champions League. And if they've got that, I think that is more of an incentive for Brighton than it is for Villa. Not a lot more, but I think that incentive is there. And I think Brighton are the better of those two sides.
Interesting. All right. Webby saying Ferguson will be in all of our teams next season. Honestly, the kid
problem
is
he's
good. Going to
be expensive, isn't he? Like, because he's cheap at the moment. That's why we like
him. Not going to uplift him several million, though, are they? I mean, he's going to be a, what, 6'5", 6'6"?
What was Tony at the start of this season? Seven?
Yeah, seven.
It's got to be in that bracket. It's got to be surely.
Evan Ferguson, come on.
Brighton's number one forward.
Is he their number one forward?
I think so, isn't he?
Well, you've got Undav, you've got Welbeck, you've got Nsisco.
Undav's nobody's first choice.
Poor old Undav, you've just killed him there.
No, he's not, is he? Let's be honest. I think if Evan Ferguson stays fit, he's their first choice. Yeah. With Nsisco and Matoma and McAllister behind.
Yeah.
I think Evan Ferguson is a phenomenal player.
Right.
I'd put him in it. Right. He's got to be the same price as Tony in that this year. Watkins, surely. Okay.
Alright. The guys are saying that Brighton can't mathematically do UCL.
Can they not? No. Sad times. So, maybe I'll reverse.
I liked your rhetoric. I liked it. The Brighton fans were loving it, but no, unfortunately not.
I'll reverse my decision then, Villa will win.
Let's just talk about Liverpool from this game at Anfield. Crying over Brazilians aside, as Si has already said. Listen, the game maybe to target for 38 is Liverpool going to Southampton, which in the past has been a reasonably happy hunting ground for us.
If
I remember rightly, anecdotally. Southampton looking pretty dead and well, they are dead and buried, aren't they? They're down and out. So from a Liverpool perspective, not that much to play for. I don't think we can be caught in fifth. Let me have a look. No, we can't. And we're probably...
Well, even with Brighton having an extra game.
Actually, yeah, depends on what happens against City for Brighton. Yeah, so it could be, if your narrative is to be believed, that they're going to get something out of that City game. There's a reasonable chance that they might, you know, there is more than a chance that they're going to want to win that Villa game to get something out of us. But listen, I think top four is gone for Liverpool. We need slip-ups for either Newcastle or Man U in both of their games.
Sad to say, I can't see Newcastle slipping up against Leicester.
To get something out of it. So, to that end, United, two home games. I mean, they look pretty good, don't they? They've got their act together, United, at just the right time by the looks of things. What are we saying about that Liverpool and Southampton game? Liverpool could go there with the kind of shackles off, playing with a bit of freedom against the Saints team that are conceding for fun. Is there any Liverpool punts that you'd like to go to? I mean, earlier in the week, you were talking to me about this bank of money that you've built up in FPL, ready to go for Salah.
Yeah.
For final game week. Is that where you're going to go? Is that what you're thinking still?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like the Egyptian in for the final game week. Yeah. Right. I've been squirreling some money away. And actually, yeah, because I probably haven't spoken to you guys since I started doing that. After the brilliance that was game week 36 for me. In fact, can we talk about that rather than game week 37?
No,
we
can't.
That was outstanding for me.
I've moved on from Callum Wilson hat trick.
When I do my team review in a minute, I'm going to refer to that because that's way better than where I am right now. But what I'd really, really, really like to have is the Haaland, Kane, Salah, Holy Trinity in my team for the last game week, alongside having Trent. And that's something that fundamentally ruins most of the rest of the team.
Yeah.
But there's enough cheap assets in there. I don't mind that because for a final week, I can have these cheaper ones and it doesn't matter.
Thought Gakpo's a bit unlucky not to get some points this week.
Yeah.
You got him in your team?
Yeah, benched him.
Yeah, but you'd play him against Southampton if you had him in your team, wouldn't you? Game week 38?
Yes, but I'd rather have Salah.
Well, yeah, I think we can all agree on that. But I don't think Gakpo's a bad shout.
No, I don't think he's a bad shout, but he's not Mo Salah. Right. I think that's the thing, isn't it? And for the last week of the season, I think you want to, as far as you can, have the best team possible. Do you think that there's a chance that Bobby Firmino gets the start?
Against Southampton?
Final game. Because that feels like a punt I'd love.
I don't think he will.
Oh.
I don't think he will.
Savage.
Today felt like, or yesterday felt like a very fitting end for Bobby Firmino. I just think, like, at Anfield, got the goal, salvaged us a point, had the guard of honour, said goodbye to everybody. That's it. Why would you then start him against Southampton, risk him having a crap game or getting injured or something that would just tarnish that memory? I think that final memory of Firmino now in all Liverpool fans' minds is just perfect. There's a perfect send-off for him. It's perfect. Why would you then play him against Southampton? I mean, I don't see it. I think a much better pick, not a much better pick, but an alternative pick if you wanted to go for Liverpool. And I don't mind Salah at all, obviously, because it's Salah. But Saints concede a hell of a lot of chances down Luis Diaz's side. Now, I don't think Diaz has been firing all cylinders since he's come back. Don't get me wrong. He needs a pre-season. It's a long layoff. We'll go again with him next year. It'll be interesting to see how FPL price him for next season.
Yeah, it will actually.
Because he's been affordable this year, unlucky with injury. come back from injury.
Not shown much more than his price tag, though, has he, really?
No. Because how much of that is the injury, etc. Yeah. So I'll be very into... He is a price, as I was last summer, interested to see his price. I'm also going to be interested to see it again this summer to see how they price him.
Mm.
But from a Southampton perspective, they do like to concede a chance more down his side than they do down Mo's side. So I could see a lot of people like yourself going for Mo.
Because it used to be Mane that was a legend at
Well, quite possibly. But I don't mind Luis Diaz for a little last game week punt. If you haven't got the money squirreled away like you have for Salah, and if you have, go for Mo. But there'd be plenty of FPL managers that haven't.
Mm.
So if you want to move to Luis Diaz, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Mm. Also, you've got Jota knocking about as well, right? So you've got him. But yeah, I think he's probably more likely to play instead of Gakpo up front. Probably. Can play left. I think Klopp is quite keen to give Luis Diaz as much time on the grass as possible. And then get him in that gym. Mm. Get him fit and firing for next season. He's going to be very important for us, Luis Diaz, next season.
Mm.
If we can keep him fit. Mienna Sidholm. Thank you, Mienna, for the super chat. Sam, maybe you should listen to Jules and just got Curtis Jones. That guy, honestly.
What, Curtis Jones or Jules?
Honestly, Jules Laurent.
Honest, my God.
The official
Curtis
FPL
Jones.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that, don't tell Jules this, I'm so glad that Curtis Jones blanked. Cue everyone clipping that, sending it to Jules. If he'd have scored again this weekend, I genuinely think Kelly and I would have had to resign on the spot. Because if I've got to hear him sing about Curtis Jones one more time...
Totally.
Well,
yeah, totally.
Blaming Curtis Jones as well as the cheapest one of them all. Oh.
Some good comments in the chat as well. Ali Ezat. Thank you, Ali. Diaz is your manly. I agree. Southampton should have seen them today. The amount of chances they conceded down Mitoma's side. Shame Mitoma couldn't finish. So there you go. If you needed some statistics to underline that Diaz shout from me a minute ago. Yeah, Mitoma, an XG of 0.82 in that game against Southampton, should have had more points than the five that he got.
Treble up on Liverpool?
I hear what you guys are saying, because some of you are saying, well, actually, you know, Diaz is a benching risk. Lukey Boy saying Diaz might be benched. He might. I just think that Klopp is quite keen to give him game time. I think, given that Mitoma performance against Southampton today, if Diaz can show us a bit of the old Diaz pre-injury...
Hmm.
I think he could get on the score sheet. And that would be not only a nice FPL differential, but that would be a good boost for him personally going into pre-season. I think Klopp is gagging to get him a goal. If he could get a goal, get into pre-season having scored a goal. I like it. I don't mind Luis Diaz as a shout for game week 38. Again, it's a bit punty, but it's game week 38. So we're going to have a look at it. Where else do you want to... Oh,
why'd you keep going back there?
I don't know why I've gone back there again. Where else do you want to go, Sam? Is it worth talking about City 1 and Chelsea 0 and the rotation? Or do we just accept now that this is it? City have won it. So, you know, you play your City assets in the knowledge that they potentially get rotated. And game week 38, listen, it's going to happen again. There's going to be FPL tiers. No doubt about it, because they've got the biggest game of their lives coming up. And I found that, well, two. I keep forgetting they're in an FA Cup final.
A Derby FA Cup final as well.
A Derby FA Cup final, which Man United are going to be bang up for, right? Because United will not want them to win the treble, no doubt about it. Do I think they can? I think they can, but I don't think they will, United fans. I think City are going to win this treble, and I do think they're going to beat Inter in the final.
I do too.
I think they will do it this year.
Yeah.
And fair play, they deserve it. And from an FPL perspective, as we said before, the league now is bottom of the priority list, isn't it, for Pep? Absolutely bottom.
There's absolutely no reason now.
Forget playing any of your stars.
There's no reason to risk them, apart from match fitness and momentum. That's the only reason Pep could have to play these players. But you don't need to play them all for the whole 90 minutes in order to get that. So we could actually go with, right, well, I'm going to play you and then on 45 minutes, I'm going to make a load of subs and take some of you off. I'm going to give you the 20 minutes at the end of the game if you just keep your eye in, that sort of thing. I think game week
30... So do you go for an Alvarez then? What? You go for a Mahrez? You go for a, I don't know, a Cole Palmer? Or go for a, I don't know, who else? Just go for somebody random from City because they'll play in that game week 38, surely.
Yeah.
Phil Foden maybe?
Except... there's going to be a lot of rotation, not just at City, because the rest of your team.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to be sure, if you're going to punt on one of those City players, you have to be fairly sure that the rest of your team is going to be okay and starting.
God, I didn't realise he was that cheap. FPO Bruno's in the chat. Cole Palmer, very impressive today. 4.2 million, Cole Palmer.
But you have to be sure the rest of the team is going to be all right, because game week 38, this could be a week where the way things are at the minute, with so many things sorted in the big positions and the teams that you'd want to be invested in, and a lot of us are, if we see mass rotation at Man City, if we see rotation at other big clubs, like, you know, if Manchester United have locked in their UCL place, I don't know if they mathematically can, I haven't checked, but if they can lock it in before the weekend, might we see some rotation there ahead of their FA Cup game? Because that's quite important too for them. They'll want to win that this season because that's important for Ten Hag. So I think we could end up with a situation where we're all quite heavily invested in Manchester United, Manchester City, teams like that.
Because of the double we've just had, or are having.
Yeah, and if they've got nothing to play for left in the league at that point, because they've secured what they need to, and with big fixtures to follow, might we see some rotation there?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's a risk. So I think you just have to be mindful that of, yes, I think that taking a punt on a Manchester City asset is a good thing, but it's probably going to mean taking out another one, which is fine. But you've got to be sure that the rest of your team is okay, because you don't want to get into a situation where you've got like 10 players in the final game week.
I'll tell you what, that's a nice question that I've not yet even thought that in my head, Jason Sterling. Thank you for that question in the chat. Haaland to Kane for the final game week. What are we saying?
I mean, I got Kane anyway, so...
That's not the answer we're looking for, Sam. We're looking for a Haaland to Kane. If you've got just Haaland. Don't mind it, Jason, you know.
So I think you wait and see if he gives Haaland the start in midweek. If he starts Haaland against Brighton, I think there's no chance he starts him at the weekend. If he doesn't start him against Brighton in the week, I think he will start him at the weekend and give him 60 minutes.
Brentford away, final game week. Do you just rest him for that? Get him prepped
for
the cup final?
Can't rest him for 3 weeks.
Got a cup final there at some stage? How long between game week 38 and one of their finals?
A week, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. The chat will tell us, right? But how long is that? But how long is that gap, right? It'll be a longer gap between game week 38 and the Champions League final.
Sure.
But the FA Cup will be coming up.
But you don't want to rest. But what I'm saying is that he's not going to not start him in the next three games, is he? No. Not starting him today. I don't think he's not going to start him on Wednesday and then
Brighton.
He's not going to start him at the weekend. Well, I think it's one of those two he's going to get the start. If he's benched against Brighton, surely that means he starts Brentford.
Yeah, but if he starts against Brighton...
Then it's different. That's what I'm saying.
Then so you bring in Harry for 38.
You're not allowed to get Harry.
Why not?
Because he is my differential against you, so you can absolutely...
What, with Leeds pressing high and aggressive?
Off on your bike. You're not allowed to have Harry Kane. You were a traitor and sold him. So no, you can't.
I'm more likely to go Alvarez, I think. But I don't mind it, Jason. That's the first time I've even thought about doing that. But I like it. I like it. I've bought in... Si is saying I bought in Kane for Watkins to go Haaland and Kane up top. Well, that's served you well, Sam.
It's gone well for me, that.
Over the
season.
Last few weeks. Yeah, over the last few weeks. What else to say? Pretty Chelsea much. Season petering out. Let's not even go there.
They're going to finish in the bottom half of the table for the first time since 1996.
They're rubbish. Good luck, Pochettino, is all I'm going to say. Good luck, mate. You are going to need it. You are going to need it. Can we talk about Wolves 1, Everton 1? Simply because if we look at the bottom of the table, Everton now, how important was that point? It was flipping huge, that point, wasn't it, for them?
Massive.
Yerry Mina, 99th minute. Unbelievable.
Why is it always one of their random players that does this? They did it against us as well.
It was the most Sean Dyche goal you've ever seen. It was a lump into the box. And it was the three... Do you see it? It's the three centre-halves. Tarkowski won the header. Michael Keane got the assist. And Yerry Mina scored the goal. I'm like, how Sean Dyche was that goal? It was brilliant. What I will say about Everton was I thought they were really, really good until DCL got taken off injured.
Mm.
They wouldn't, I'm telling you right now, they would be nowhere near 17th if Dominic Calvert-Lewin was fit all season.
Well, they lost.
He was making intelligent runs. He was the focal point. He was getting on the end of stuff. DCL is a quality player, right? He was taking defenders away, making space for McNeil and Iwobi. Really, really good. And then he just does what DCL does and gets injured. And then they go back to being the Everton that have struggled all season. And to get something from this game, fair play. The Wolves goal, by the way, was also a great goal. I know it was Hwang that scored it, but our old mate Adama Traore, what a run. Absolutely brilliant.
I think Everton's done now. I think the bottom three's done. I think that's it.
You think the Toffees will survive?
Yeah, I think it's Leeds and Leicester.
Well, I think Leicester...
How many points are Everton above Leeds?
Everton have got 2 points. So would a draw do for them? It possibly would, because their goal difference is minus 24. Leeds is minus 27. So Leeds would have to... If Everton draw, Leeds would have to get a big score past Spurs. And that's not going to happen, is it? Necessarily. I said necessarily.
Who have Leicester got on final day, please?
Well, they've got Newcastle coming up, haven't they? Which is tomorrow. And then the final day, it's West Ham at home. And West Ham will have eyes and ears on other things.
How many points are Leicester behind Leeds? Sorry, this is a lot of questions.
This is bloody complicated, isn't it?
I'm just trying to think about...
They're a point behind Leeds, so they've got to make up...
So Leicester have to get something tomorrow, realistically.
Yeah.
If they don't get something against Newcastle, they're going to struggle.
Yeah, although they could put it in their own hands if they get something against Newcastle, but their goal difference is minus 18, Everton's is minus 27, and Leeds is minus 20. No, Leeds is 27, Everton's 24. So
I think it's done. I think it's them two.
Yeah, probs.
Three
probs.
Big Premier League clubs there going down.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. Yeah. Huge, right? Huge.
I don't know why I'm hugging this bottle.
Where else to go, Sam? Anything else you want to discuss from... from an Everton perspective, I guess we've got to have that conversation because they got Bournemouth at home on the last day.
What, should we all go back to Tarkowski?
No.
What a terrible shout.
I'm just...
Bournemouth aren't scoring loads of goals.
I'm just, you know, again, game week 38, punt, Bournemouth on the beach. Didn't really put... Let's talk about the Bournemouth performance against United then. Was that a beachy performance?
Yeah, they're on the beach. They're mid-table.
It felt it a bit. Nothing United played well, but you know.
Since about, what was it, 3 or 4 game weeks ago where they were on that run where it was really good because they secured themselves.
Yeah,
at the point where they secured themselves, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
The relief of, right, we're safe. And Forest will be the same. They've secured themselves this week. They'll be the same on the beach for this week. Absolutely sure of that. Who have they got?
Forest.
Yeah.
Palace.
So you could have another one there. Last game for Woy. That could be a good punt. Go for Palace on the final day.
I don't mind your Tarkowski thing there. One thing I noticed, like United played well against Bournemouth. Don't get me wrong. It's a good away performance. And United have been a little bit shakier away from home as they have been at home. At Old Trafford, they've been bloody good. But away from home, not quite so good. Thought Casemiro took the goal brilliantly. Mm. I mean, talk about great goals. Great goal. Bruno Fernandes owners, and there were a lot of you out there getting Bruno Fernandes in this week. You can feel a little bit unlucky. He had one well saved by the keeper. Very creative again. Just seemed to be dodging points again, but unlucky. And there were a few Fernandes captains out there FPL this week. And you can feel a bit hard done by him.
Well, no,
opinion.
But I mean, also, you've done better than the Haaland captains.
That is very true. So... Yeah, very true. But equally... I thought Bournemouth's defending from set pieces was not good, by the way. Not good. That's one thing I'm going to do between now and 38 is go back and re-watch that Bournemouth-Man United game, extended highlights, and just watch Bournemouth's defending from set pieces. Because if there's one thing you can bet on a Sean Dyche-Everton, it's you can threat from set pieces, right? Yeah. You've got Keane, Yerry Mina and bloody Tarkowski combining for the goal today. You could see it. I don't mind a... If you wanted to punt on a Yerry Mina or a Tarkowski or something like that, I would not mind it. I would not mind it.
I don't hate it.
And Iwobi and McNeil.
They've got something to fight for. Cause
they've got to win again, haven't they?
At the moment, it's in their hands. They've got to get something out of that game. So I don't hate that.
I don't mind an Everton punt. Last game of the season. Never thought I'd say it. Never thought I'd say it. What else to discuss, Sam? Anything to discuss? Nothing really from Forest and Arsenal other than well done to Forest for staying up. Well done, because... That did not look likely. You have to say, that did not look likely. Game week 1, and even at Christmas, it did not look likely.
No, they were really struggling. But what I will say about Nottingham Forest is their home form this season has kept them in the Premier League because...
They've been great at home.
They've made it a fortress at home, and the fans have played a big part in that. They've created an atmosphere where, however bad their team has been on the road, when they've come home, they've backed them, and it's been... They've been phenomenal. Yeah. It's kept them in the division. And actually... I wasn't surprised by that result either.
No. No. And really Wilco, nice shout, Wilco, in the chat. Oh, how do you say this guy? Awoniyi. One to watch for next season. I agree. And got the goal today. A slightly fortuitous finish, would we say? Kind of come off of Gabriel's leg a little bit. But the one I want to point out, I thought Gibbs-White
He's been phenomenal.
Absolutely bloody brilliant he was at the weekend. So Awoniyi, definitely one to watch. Wilco, I agree. If they can hold on to Gibbs-White for next season, very interested again to see how FPL price him, because I thought he was brilliant in this game. There was one passage of play where he dribbled through half the Arsenal defence, got a shot away, Ramsdale saved it and Arsenal cleared it. And it went out to Gabriel Jesus wide on the left-hand touchline. And Gibbs-White absolutely pelted it over there to he was on the floor after he'd missed the chance, got up, pelted it over to Jesus, got the challenge in, riled up the crowd. This is like in the 88th minute. He knew how important it was that they held on to that 1-0. He was fantastic, Gibbs-White. Absolutely fantastic. But so
that's
the Forest,
of it, isn't it? It's the character that they bring.
Yeah, and fair play to... And we'll move on in a minute. I've got to stop talking so lavishly about Forest, but I've been so impressed with them at home, like you say. And in particular, when you think back to... They've had like a whole new squad. Like they bought a whole new squad, didn't they, last summer? We're all sitting here gaming one saying, how the bloody hell is he going to get a tune out of 40 new players? And for large parts of the season, it hasn't worked. But at home, towards the back end of the season, they've been excellent. Really, really good. So fair play to Nottingham Forest. Arsenal season really petered out. Really petered out. They will come again, Arsenal. They will come again next year. And I'm interested to see how they get on. Azzy, thank you for the super chat. The Smiths 1986. Palace punts all aboard. Sam, what are we saying about a Palace punt for next week?
I don't hate it. They're playing
home to Forest. Forest will be celebrating all week, I'd imagine, staying up.
They're staying up. They're absolutely drunk all the week. And they're terrible away from home. And it's Roy Hodgson's last game again.
Yeah.
At I really don't hate a Palace punt. An Eze and Elise. I don't hate that. I think that's quite a nice punt for the final game week of the season. I can see them doing well.
I sort of think if we're going to talk punts for game week 38, Palace and Everton don't feel that too bad a place to go. And then obviously Liverpool against Southampton, we've talked about Luis Diaz. Arsenal at home to Wolves, wouldn't know what to say about Arsenal at the minute. I'm just not sure what sort of performance you're going to get. Honestly not. Whether they're going to go out with a bang in front of their own fans or whether it's just all petering out for them.
It's hard to call that, isn't it?
The Brighton Villa game, I do fancy a punt from that game, but I'm so heavily invested in one side. I just find it difficult to know where to go to if I was going to go to Villa. And if I did, it would be counter all the other Brighton assets that I've got. So apart from doing Haaland to Kane, which the chat has put in my head now. And then, of course, Man United at home to Fulham. But then I'm reasonably invested in United already with three in my team. Everton and Palace, if you want a last game week punt, I'd go there or Luis Diaz. Those would be my options, I think. Disagree with any of that?
No, in my head, I'm sort of now thinking I might just get Tarkowski back again.
Game week 38 punt, Tarkowski.
Did you come, James?
Feels too boring. It's a bit boring, that.
Oh, no, I've got two free transfers and a load of money in the bank.
Oh, here we go. Well, speaking of which, we're going to come to our teams in just a second. Before we do, a quick shout out to Wilco, to Azzy, to a few of the other guys that are in the chat this evening. Patreon.com/FPL family. Thank you to all of our patrons that have supported us this season. It's been a pleasure doing FPL with you guys this year. Genuine pleasure. And we get up to all sorts of crap in the chat, in the Slack, don't we? It's not just FPL. We talk about all sorts of conversations. And sometimes it gets a little bit deep. And actually, that community have been so supportive of each other, genuinely. It's been absolutely brilliant. So for those of you that have joined us on the little Patreon journey this year, patreon.com/FPL family, we've loved having you along. Obviously, we're not going to be creating much content over June and July. So don't worry. You know, listen, if you want to go and check us out right now, great. But don't join up, guys, because we're not going to be doing anything in June, July. We're going to have a well-earned break.
We're going to talk chocolate.
And then we'll be talking snacks with Wilco.
Go on, Wilco. It's snack time.
It's just going to be all Whatsits and Quavers. That's what we're going to be.
And me crying about Spurs managers.
And you crying about Brazilians.
I don't cry about all Brazilians, to be clear.
Firmino and Moura. So, listen, if you want to go and check us out and see what it's all about, then we'd love you to do that. And then if you want to consider joining us over on Patreon in August, when it starts again, we'll get the content back rolling. We'll be doing the weekly podcasts again. We'll be doing the Zoom. We'll be doing the competitions. Everything will be back up and running come August. Then great. We'd love you to join us. And, of course, our May Manager of the Month competition. Yes, a surprise name on the leaderboard. Our Manager of the Month competition for May, the final month of this season, is underway. Ian, David, and yourself, Sam Bonford from FPL Family, doing very well in May. All of you guys pretty much had Wilson captain, but we're not going to talk about that anymore because it absolutely kills me. So, yes, all to play for. These were the scores before game week 37. Obviously, game week 37 is still going on, so we're going to see how that pans out for the rest of the week, and then I will add up all the scores. I'll put game week 38 in there as well, and we'll see whether Ian, David, or yourself, Sam, can win
this
month's Manager of the Month competition. Let's talk about our game weeks as they are so far in game week 37. What was that? You got a little sniffle? What was that? Is that because you were going to talk about your team? You were like, no, thanks.
No, my hair tickled my nose. Like, it was like a spider or something, and I was like, oh, get off.
Brilliant. Oh, the podcast are loving that one.
Sorry, podcasters.
Right, let's go for me first then. Green Arrow, right, then. But it's tiny, right? We are mid-game week. My transfer this week was Robbo to Shaw, so I'm very happy with that so far. Luke Shaw coming in clutch with
transfers
a 9-pointer.
Transfers worked this week.
Very good. After last week's debacle, the transfer this week was good. Didn't spend any points either, so I have only got one free transfer going into the final game week. Mine Cisco shout is looking decidedly ropey. I know he got the goal against Arsenal last time out, but I was really hoping that he'd get the start against Southampton. He did. Then got hauled off on 46 minutes, which was deeply made me very unhappy. And of course, he's got the Man City game. He could feature in that, of course. But, you know, today's game, Southampton, that was the game. I was thinking he'd get something, if anything. Elsewhere, the midfield are doing all right. They're chipping in 5 and 5 and 5. Happy days. Grealish obviously with the zero, but you know we'll see how that goes and how that plans out and plays out against Brighton. So really, it's just Man United defenders. The double Man U defence was really the one that's done me proud, to be honest with you. De Gea with the 7, who had a great game, by the way. De Gea was fantastic. And Luke Shaw with the 9 is good. I sort of feel like this game is going to come down to Wilson versus Isaac again, don't you? Hate to say it, but I think it is. So overrank is 54k. I'd like to finish, because I'm sort of trying to have a bit of a target. I'd like to finish in the top 50k. That'd be great.
Okay.
Top 50k finish, would be very happy with that. Very happy with that. I spent a lot of this season
trying
floating
to get
around 100, 200k. I've had a pretty good season, actually. I'm pretty happy with it. I've never really been outside the top sort of 300 or 400k. I've always been in and around that sort of mark after sort of 5-6 game weeks. And then I sort of mid-season sort of just stagnated around sort of 100, 200k, up and down a bit. Then there was a game week a few weeks ago when it sort of, somebody, McAllister maybe, pushed me up into sort of top 100k. And I've been floating around sort of 50, 60, 70k for a while. If I could finish top 50k, I'd be pretty happy with that. 2,467 points, a small green arrow of 6.6. I'll take it. We'll see what else happens throughout the remainder of the game week, including, hopefully, Mr. Haaland turning up against Brighton. Your game week, a little small red arrow in the opposite direction, mainly because my goalkeeper turned up and yours didn't, I think. Largely.
Mine sat on the bench, never rest.
31 points, 2,476, overranked 42k. So it is getting very close between us. What are you, 2,476? And I'm 2,467. So what's that? 9 points between us, 9 points. Rarely have we had a run. It's normally done and dusted by now. But rarely have we had a run-in that's been this close. I'm intrigued to see how the rest of this season plays out. Tell me about your game week. Go on.
So game week 36 was brilliant. Let's just talk about that. This week's been disappointing. I think that's
so
the word
far.
I'd use
so far. Yeah.
But I'm also sort of not surprised there's been mass rotation at Man City.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I wanted Arsenal to get something yesterday, because it would have meant probably that he would have played a full-strength City side today. To lose Grealish and Edison was just a big kick in the teeth.
Yeah. The Haaland one you can live with, can't you? Because many will have gone there and captained him. So
yeah,
you can live with
that. And annoying though, I've obviously got Luke Shaw as my vice. And I was like, oh, that's frustrating.
Oh, yeah, that would have been clutch, wouldn't it? I like that.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
Oh, Matt, that would have been classic you, that.
Oh, shut up.
That would have been classic you to get Shaw vice captain.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
God.
This is where he starts. He's been moaning at me all week because of the Wilson thing.
I'm still
How
not over Wilson
I
game
am.
Week 36. I'm not over
it.
I'm not over it.
It's ridiculous that you think I was luck. That was... I was so... I did my research. I was so happy with myself. And I picked the right player. And I was like, yes. And then you kept banging on about I've been jammy.
Oh, what, jammy? Put his hand up. Who was the Leeds Muppet? Put his hand up, brushed his knuckle, and VAR gives a penalty. That's jam. Come on. That's jam.
Not bitter,
and then
are
the
you?
Second game, he was nowhere and he got a goal on the break in the last couple of minutes because Brighton were pushing forward and got an assist because of the same reason.
48 points.
jam.
48 points.
I'm not. It's jam, and I'm not over it.
I got 130 last week, guys. We're so
Wilson
happy.
Captainers. I don't. No, don't even get in the chat. I'm not interested in him. Wilson captains from 36. Unreal. And if he does anything against Leicester on Monday night, I'm gonna be fuming. Absolutely.
I want another 48 points from Callum Wilson.
Oh my god, imagine.
Yeah, I do. although, actually, do I? Because bringing up Mr. Laron again, he's got Callum Wilson as captain this week.
Has he? Woo! I like that.
If I've got to hear a Curtis Jones song and a Callum Wilson song, I might quit. Might resign.
Webby's like, lol, Wilson the GOAT. No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Webby. He's
yeah,
not.
Yeah. Yeah, he is legend.
He's not.
130 points. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
I'll tell you, if he starts against Leicester and Isaac's wide again, I'll go mental.
You know, pipe down in the chicken seats. yeah, so not the best game week so far. Of course, I've had blanks from Edison, blanks from Grealish. Rashford didn't show up either. That's really not ideal. Trent. I can't quite believe Trent didn't return anything in that game.
Yeah.
But hey ho, that is what it is. Obviously, the man, the myth, the absolute goat of Mr. Kane.
Yeah, nice.
Every
guy,
week,
nice
can guy. Bank on my 7 points for him.
The thing with Trent is, and I don't want to go off on a Liverpool tangent, but.
But you will.
If I had a pound for every time we got caught out with a back post header, I'd be a rich man. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But he had that opportunity.
Once again.
He had that really good opportunity, Trent, where he could have scored and he just sort of passed it.
Yeah, but screw
it.
That. Just make sure you're tracking your man at the back post. Honestly, he and Kanate, they're both transfixed on Mings, right? Rightly so, because Mings is a threat in the box. I understand that. Both of them are transfixed on Mings. And your man who scored
off,
the goal,
the
was it Ramsey with the goal?
Yeah.
Nicks in round the back. Like, happened at Fulham with Mitrovic. Happened then with Ramsey. The amount of, like, it's so easy. Just backstick, get round the back, overload at the back post, and Trent will get caught out. It's just unbelievable. So, yeah, I hear you. He could have had more from an attacking perspective, but the reason we lost that clean sheet was largely down to him, so we'll take the one.
So, basically, what I need in midweek is for Rashford to not be ill. Marcus, for goodness sake, no more illness, play.
Yeah, I think he'd be all right, because he did say that the injury was okay and he was just ill.
But he was training, yeah, but then they kept him isolated, didn't they, because he was ill. I need Edison back in the starting 11, I need Grealish to start, I need Wilson to bang tomorrow. And if those things happen, it will be a fine game week.
Torben, don't even start, mate. Torben is in the chat. He's saying, Sam, we were actually unlucky last week with Wilson.
Torben.
He could have scored two more goals.
You're 100% accurate. This one,
forget
he's so bitter
forget
and twisted
it.
About it.
I'm not
Are
having
you
any
so
more,
bitter?
I'm not having any more Wilson chat on this live stream. I absolutely ruined my season. 36 weeks of blood, sweat and tears trying to beat you.
What?
And Wilson pops up with two penalties. I couldn't believe it, guys. I couldn't believe it. Absolutely ridiculous.
That's why, I mean, I'm afraid, Lee, from FPL family, that's why you get Callum Wilson, because he's got penalties and Isak does not.
Right, if I'd have got Callum Wilson last week, he'd have blanked. Because whenever I have him, he knows. He's like,
what?
Lee's got me in FPL, so I'm just going to be crap. But when I don't have him, he gets 48 points.
Yeah, I really was really grateful.
Ruined my season, that hole from Wilson last week. Unbelievable.
Next week, we'll find out who's got the wooden spoon trophy.
We will.
And normally, it's done by now. You're right. Normally, by done.
Well, up until... Or nearly swore then. Up until bloody Wilson, I was about 30 points ahead of you. Now you're 9 ahead of me because of Wilson.
I was actually 13 ahead of you ahead of this game week. It's only that De Gea, you've
and
got
me
De Gea.
Doing some other stupid crap like taking out Purvis's sleep plan, which we're not going to go into. Right, so let's talk about what's coming up this week.
What is happening this week? There's actually loads going on this week again. It's another busy week. So we'll obviously have Ohana as usual, the penultimate one, because we probably do one straight after the game as well, just to kind of fill the patrons in on what we're doing. Yeah. So penultimate Ohana this week. FPL will probably be back as normal with Jules gloating probably again about whatever it is that he's got to gloat
Callum
about
Wilson
this time.
Captain,
Callum Wilson captain. At least it won't be Curtis Jones again. That's on Thursday this week.
Can you give us any insight into what's happening with the FPL pod next year? Because I flipping hope you three keep it together, because it's been absolutely brilliant.
Aww.
You and Jules and Kelly on the pod this year. It's been great.
The Three Musketeers.
Yeah, I'd love it. Honestly, guys, if you've not checked out the official FPL podcast, and most of you listening to us, I'm sure, would do listen to it on a weekly basis. It's great. And I love Off the Bench as well. But the weekly one with you three is really, really good. So I'm hoping that's going to stick around for next season.
Yeah, we'll be back. And then
Well, so you distracted me by that live comment. It's after you've abused me.
We've got any Sky stuff going on?
We have.
Have we?
We are going to be in Sky on Sunday.
For the finale game week.
Oh, I was well excited when the producer came in and said, do you guys want to come and do the final one? And we were like, yes, we do want to come and do the final one. So we'll be in, I think, and I'll confirm it on socials when we know for definite, I think it's at 12:30 ahead of the games that afternoon.
Very good.
But yes, we'll be in the Sky Studio
on
Sunday.
So it's not quite so stressful. So we're on at 12:30
till... No, because they want... Because we were... I think Mark, the producer, was a bit like, I know that you're not going to want to be sat here right on the deadline. So we're having an earlier FPL show that day.
Oh, dear me.
Yes.
I think there's going to be some... I hate to say it, and I don't know what FPL we're going to do about it for next season, but there's going to be team links and all sorts, isn't there? Because they're all kicking off at the same time in game week 38.
Well, there's... Yeah, but...
If Haaland doesn't start, there'll be Haaland to Kane last minutes and all sorts of stuff going on.
Well, it depends on how much we believe it, though, doesn't it?
There's some reasonably credible sources knocking about. I can just see it being carnage in game week 38, as
it
always is.
We'll be home by then. We'll be home
as it always is. I can see me doing a...
Sky on the final day. Exciting.
I can see me doing something like a...
What are you going to do?
I don't know, a James Tarkowski last minute transfer in or
Well, you know he's going to start. You want to get him tomorrow.
I don't know. Thinking who's at Palace, I could do Haaland to Ayew or something. Can you imagine doing that transfer for
Why would you do that? If you're going to take Haaland out, you'd 100% get Kane.
Why not?
What is wrong with you, man?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, I know what you could do.
Go on.
You could get Callum Wilson.
Oh, shut up.
Should have done that last week.
Shut up.
Did anyone tell you that?
Cannot live with that guy. I'll tell you what. I'm glad we're doing this now and not off. If he goes off against Leicester, I'm done with FPL. That's it. I'm finished.
Well, FPL or me talking to you about Callum Wilson?
As you could tell, I'm not over. That's going to leave some scars, that game week 36.
I tell you what.
That's hurt deep.
If Callum Wilson goes off tomorrow, I get you a signed Callum Wilson shirt.
This is before I've even gone into the fact Salah got 3 assists and no bonus points. I've still got...
Did you see that massive opportunity
this
that you
is before
missed?
I've even gone into Kane got 2 bonus points for diving for a penalty.
We haven't even gone there.
We haven't even gone there.
No, no. I will not have a word said about... You can say what you like about Callum Wilson, but I will not have a bad word said about Harold of Kane. That man is an absolute legend.
Oh, just no more Callum
You'll
Wilson
be evicted if you continue to talk badly about Harry Kane.
Please no more Callum
but
Wilson.
Callum Wilson.
Stay quiet. Alex Isak, I hope you're listening, mate.
If he bangs against Leicester, when you come in next week for the live stream, there'll be a picture of Callum Wilson right here in the middle of the screen.
Guys, thank you for joining us here on the penultimate FPL family of the season. We'll be back next Sunday.
We've got predictions to do.
8:30. It is one of my favourite live streams of the season. You will find out, or we will reveal, whether Team Sam or Team Lee is getting the wooden spoon. Probably if bloody Callum Wilson got into it. We will find out whether Team Sam or Team Lee is going to win the FPL Family Wooden Spoon Trophy. We will be revealing your pre-season predictions. So for those of you that are new to the channel, right back before game week one, I made my predictions for the top four, the bottom three, the golden boot, the golden glove, the top FPL point scorer. You did the same. You guys as a community did the same. We put them in an envelope and we always open that envelope on the last live stream of the season and find out what our pre-season predictions were.
I remember mine. I don't think I've done very well.
I think I've done all right.
I don't think I have.
I think I've done all right. I think golden boot I've done all right.
I know I haven't.
No, you've got golden boot.
I picked number two, haven't I? And who in any other season would have won it by a country mile?
Of course you have. Right, guys, so look forward to that. And if you want to be notified as to when that is on, then make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell. Leave us a like before you go. We'll see you next week for the finale. Good luck, guys. Cheers.
Bye, guys.